Good evening and Happy New Year 2025. The word of the Lord through our apostle for all of this year is Holy Ghost, have your way. Now that's supernatural, because those five words are the grace of God that will be in manifestation and demonstration all this year. So we thank God for our apostle, the royal family, and for this training center. This semester, we will be teaching you from the book entitled Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy by Apostle Jonathan David. We will go through the preface of this book as well as the introduction, which is chapter 1. And we will also visit some things from chapter number 12. Are you listening? Let us begin. The prophetic flow is tapping into the supernatural dimensions of the Spirit. In order to do this, we must be properly trained by apostolic fathers. Notice that. I must be properly trained by an apostolic father. Everybody must have an apostolic father. Go ahead. The prophetic flow is learning how to hear accurately the voice of the Holy Spirit. Learning how to hear what? Accurately the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it is learning how to properly respond to the voice of God. In the Old Testament, Eli the prophet, he had to properly train Samuel on how to tap into the prophetic flow. Eli, which was an apostolic father, trained Samuel, his son, on how to hear and respond to the voice of God or the voice of the Spirit. Very important. He trained him how to, watch the two words, hear and respond. It's no good to hear and not have the proper response. It is the proper response that's going to open up revelation in heaven to us. Go ahead. The scriptural reference is 1 Samuel chapter 3 verses 1 through 10. Now, I don't have time to read all of that because we must progress in the class, but you better read it. It may show up on the exam. But God used the voice of Eli to train Samuel. Samuel was laying in his bed. You listening? When the word of the Lord came to him. But it came to him in the voice of his spiritual father. And he ran into the room to Eli and say, "You're calling me." And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back, go to bed." He went, laid back down again. You listening? And he heard the voice of God, what? The second time. And he ran to Eli and said, "You're calling me." Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." You listening? But he came back, what? The third time. Isn't there something about the third time? Apostle said, money cometh broke loose in him, but it was the third time that it really opened him up. You listening? The third time Samuel went in to his apostolic father and said, "Are you calling me?" Eli, his apostolic father, watch what I'm about to say, recognized that was God speaking to Samuel. You listening? So he said, "The next time you hear that voice, Watch the response. Lord, Lord, what? Your servant heareth you. Are you listening? The proper response to God from an apostolic father, because we are to train apostolic fathers, apostolic gifts that connect to the apostle and carry an apostolic anointing. For an example, an apostolic apostle, that's an apostle that's connected to, apostles can be connected to other apostles. Apostolic prophets, apostolic evangelists, apostolic pastors and teachers, you listening, can be trained to hear and to respond properly to the voice of God, so we can see more what? Supernatural movement in the church. Are you listening? So without that training from his apostolic father, he would have not recognized what? The voice of God. Which leads me to the next thing. How you want to hear God's voice when you cannot hear the voice of your apostolic father? You have become so spiritual, you can bypass your man of God and say, I'm going to God for myself. But when a crisis show up, now you know him. Go ahead, daughter. Eli had to train Samuel to discern the voices. If you don't discern the voice of your apostolic father, you will not be able to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. God is sending unto us apostolic fathers to go into the crowds and to bring out the boy who has those five loaves and those two small fishes. What the young boy have in his hand will never multiply. As long as he's what? In the crowd. He will never reach his full potential in God. He could spend the rest of his life awed by the sense of meeting the needs of the multitudes without knowing how to what? Without knowing how to what? You have to be trained. Trained by who? The Spirit. You listening? Go ahead. Someone must find this boy and teach him how to release what he has into the hands of an apostolic father who can lead him into an acceleration and a multiplication of resources and grace. The prophecy gift sets the flow. The Holy Spirit sets the flow of the Holy Spirit's river for all the other gifts to flow through. The prophecy gift. What is prophecy? Speaking the known will of God. You're listening? Speaking on the behalf of God in a language that is known. You listening? You listening? Speaking on God's behalf what he gave you to speak. You listening? No diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. You listening? God speaking directly to your spirit. To matter of fact, when you study Acts chapter 2, they said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Guess what happens once you're filled with the Holy Ghost? You begin to prophesy. Are you listening? Go ahead.
The revelation and power gifts.
Now, I have to say this. There are three speaking gifts. Three. We are talking about categories of gifts here. The three speaking gifts are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues, not the translation of tongues. Are you listening? And things that are spoken in the spirit must be interpreted. You listening? That's why somebody may speak in diverse kinds of tongues for a short period of time, but the interpretation is much longer. Are you listening? Then there are the three revelational gifts. Notice that the author says that the prophecy gift, are you listening, is once you get in the flow of the speaking gifts, it opens up the realm of the revelational gifts and the power gifts. The three revelational gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. You listening? The power gifts are special faith, gifts, plural, of healings, and the working of miracles. Your homework assignment is to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And you would want to read it quite often. It will appear on your exam. Go ahead, daughter.
The stronger the impact
of the other six gifts. Why say the other six gifts? Because the speaking gifts, for example, prophecy, you listening? Prophecy, you're speaking the known will of God in a language known to all of the people present. You listening? But diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues, we talk about gifts of the Spirit, are equivalent to prophecy. Did you hear me? Prophecy would be a silver dime. You listening? Diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues are two nickels. Last I checked, two nickels is equal to a dime. So that's why he said, through the prophetic flow, you listening? The speaking gifts, the other six are released at a higher dimension. Go ahead. The discerning of spirits is a must for all of those who want, notice that term, who wants to minister in the realm of the spirit. And in the what? Supernatural. What does that mean to us? That means to us as apostolic believers, because this is an apostolic training center headed by Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., you listening, who by reason of the call, he didn't just one day wake up and say, I've been in ministry for 50 years, I'm an apostle. No, he heard God's voice say, I have called you to be an apostle. Jesus gave the gifts, you listening, and God set them. According to Ephesians chapter 4, 8 through 16, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, you will find out that Jesus gave five gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. You listening? Jesus gave and God set. The way I like to explain it is if you take a ring. The ring, you have a molding that they do for a ring, right? Right? You have a mold. That mold, that's the church. The ring represents the church. You listening? The gifts that Jesus gave are diamonds. You listening? Five places to be set in the church, which is the ring. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. So, you listening? Jesus gave, God set. He set in the church, watch this, first of all, apostles. Secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles and what? Gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So He didn't deviate from the list in Ephesians 4 and 11. You listening? You listening? In Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12, it say apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he say he gave first. First in what? Time, first in order, first in rank. Jesus, when he built his church, based upon Matthew chapter number 16, the revelation that Peter received, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, Peter, based upon this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Are you listening? Whenever you build anything, you have to have building what? Blocks or materials. You listening? So the building blocks of the foundation of the church, according to Ephesians 2:20, it says, and the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and what? Prophets. Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. So the first gift that Jesus trained and developed in the church was the apostle. You listening? You listening? Is very important. You can't get around the apostle. As a matter of fact, it takes the apostle to release the fullness of the other gifts. Okay, keep moving.
All apostolic believers,
which includes prayer warriors, intercessors,
song leaders,
and ministers in the word. They need to move in the what? Discerning of spirits.
Accurately.
Without this gift, what is it? The gift of the discerning of spirits. You cannot build accurately in the realm of the spirit. The purpose of this class is to teach us
and
to train us
to move in prophecy.
And with greater accuracy.
You can bring God's word
to his people
in the way
and in the manner
which the Spirit.
You can bring God's word
to his people
in the way
and manner
and spirit.
And which
God wants you to bring it.
Yes.
We're going to go into the definition for the gifts,
for the gift, rather,
of the discerning of spirits.
See, I can't teach this
class and assume
when you hear
that because
you must
know how to function
in this
generation, in
the discerning of spirits,
we can't go on.
You need to know what it
is. So,
let's go.
It is the supernatural
enablement. This
is the gift
of the discerning
of spirits.
It is the
supernatural enablement
to identify the nature,
and the character
of spirits
that are seen.
And
spirits that are
unseen.
It gives
unto the believer
supernatural
insight
into
the realm
of the spirit.
The gift of the discerning of
spirits. The gift of the
discerning of spirits.
It is restricted
to
a specialized kind
of
supernatural knowledge.
That is
a single class
or object,
namely the
realm of the spirit.
So the discerning of gifts,
you listening,
deals specifically
and
only in what?
The realm
of the spirit.
Go ahead.
The gift of the discerning of spirits.
It
is an on-site
gift
that detects
the source
and
the nature
of any manifestation.
The gift
the gift of the discerning of spirits operates at the time
when the miracle
or the manifestation
is taking place.
It's a right on the spot gift.
Discerning the source.
Other than at the time of its manifestation
should be done only
through the guidelines of scripture
and spiritual perception
and insight
or through the operation
of the word of knowledge.
Because this gift
deals with the past
and present facts.
It deals with the what?
Past and present facts.
Now you notice it say that this gift can be used in conjunction with what?
The word of what?
Knowledge. You listening? Oftentimes gifts are bundled.
Or oftentimes a gift piggybacks on the back of another gift.
Yet the gift is still the discerning of spirits.
Are you listening?
Go ahead.
The gift of the discerning of spirits.
It is different from the two other revelational gifts.
In that
it is entirely
what?
Supernatural.
Both the objects
that are revealed
and their operation
are what?
Entirely what?
Say supernatural.
Though the operation
of the two other revelational gifts,
they are supernatural as well.
The objects of their revelation
are usually contained,
you listening,
on the natural plane.
Can you see the difference?
One deals in the realm of the what?
Spirit,
and the other deals with what?
The natural plane.
We will give you workable definitions for all nine manifestations of the Spirit.
Go ahead.
What the gift of the discerning of spirits is not.
It is not the ability
to see faults in another.
Got a lot of people in the church with that gift.
Yeah, they can see everybody's faults.
And then they say, the Lord has given me discernment.
Well, why don't he discern you?
Go ahead.
It is not a spirit of suspicion.
It is not a spirit of what?
Suspicion.
Say it is not.
A spirit of suspicion.
The spirit of suspicion is a demonic influence.
Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead.
It is not psychological insight.
It is not psychological insight.
It is not reading somebody's mind.
It is not associated
with spiritual or spirit phenomenon
of demonic spirits,
which impersonate the voices
of the dead.
It is not the ability
of discernment.
That is found in Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 12.
This ability
is an acquired skill
that is developed.
We're talking about the gifts of the discerning of spirits. That is developed through practice.
And their spiritual senses.
Reverse that. Back that up. That's Hebrews 5 and 12. You listening?
It talks about in Hebrews 5 and 12,
your senses can be developed and exercised to know good from evil. You listening? You got that, huh?
Wasn't talking about the discerning of spirits.
It was talking about Hebrews 5 and 12. You listening?
Go ahead.
Their spiritual senses
have been trained
to discern both good
and evil.
Chapter 1, introduction.
Ignorance.
Spiritual ignorance.
Ignorance is the state
or the fact of being ignorant, having a lack of knowledge, having a lack of learning, and a lack of what? Information. Now, you know 1 Corinthians 12:1, what it says. What it says. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not what? I will not have you to be what? Ignorant. Ignorant. Unaware. That's another translation, but it does mean the same thing. Ignorant. Read. No, that's the only verse I wanted. God, say, God does not want us to be ignorant. We must be trained by apostolic fathers and those who are connected to them. Go ahead, daughter.
There is a need for clear teaching.
There's a need for clear teaching
and detailed workable knowledge
on spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Spirit. God cannot bless
spiritual ignorance.
Spiritual ignorance is not bliss.
Spiritual ignorance
can destroy a genuine ministry
or the gift
that we already possess. Already possess. Did you know, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, which will be a high point for this semester, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? Profit withal. You have to know what you have. You listening? Notice what he said. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Given to who? Say, that means me. To profit with all. In other words, everyone doesn't function. Oh, my goodness. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 4 say, now there are diversities of gifts, but what? The same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but who? The same Lord. And there are what? Diversities of operations, but watch this. But it is the same God which what? Worketh all in all. Now, the next verse say, for to what? But the matter, nope. What the next verse say? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? Profit withal. Now, watch this. For to what? Oh, for to one is given. See, that's why I say the manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit with what? All. For to one is given the word of by the Spirit. Read it again. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the what? By the same Spirit. To a what? To another, special faith. By what? Notice he keeps saying, by what? The same Spirit. Now you're going to notice a shift. It goes on to say, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh by that one and that selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he what? Wills. You notice at a point it stops saying by the same Spirit. Y'all notice that, right? But then when he gets to the end of the others, he'll say, all of these work by that one and what? Selfsame Spirit. So what are we saying? What are we saying is that none of these gifts function apart from as the Holy Spirit wills. All of these gifts are gifts of the Spirit. All of these gifts are administered by the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of these gifts are the operations of the inner working of God's Spirit in us. You got it? Go ahead.
Spiritual ignorance
can become a tool for the enemy to create frustration in our walk,
confusion in our
experiences,
and to cripple our confidence
and our faith.
Remedies for spiritual ignorance.
Number one,
revelation knowledge.
The whole kingdom of God
is built upon what?
Revelation knowledge.
What is revelation knowledge?
Only knowledge that can be revealed to us by God's Spirit.
Go ahead.
God reveals to us
by His Spirit.
And the keys of the kingdom
is revelation.
The keys to the kingdom is what?
Revelation knowledge.
In Matthew 16, 13 through 18, you read, and Jesus say, and I've given you the keys of the kingdom.
Well, what is the keys of the kingdom?
Revelation.
You listening?
Revelation knowledge.
You can only use a key when it's revealed to you what the key is to be used for.
Your house key and your car key don't work the same way.
Y'all need to say amen to that.
Try it. Go start your car up with your house key.
Let me see what you're working with.
Go ahead.
Number two.
Apostolic teaching.
The end time church
will embrace an apostolic mantle of teaching.
This mantle
will help us to update our experiences
and bring the church
into conformity
to New Testament patterns
and standards.
Other hindrances
to the operation of gifts.
Number one, fear.
Fear and what?
Snares.
Fear of failure.
Fear.
I'm about to say the wrong thing.
Shut up.
This is a working of the Spirit.
When He prompts you, speak.
That's why you need to have a conductor. He'll help you.
Go ahead.
The fear of men.
Why are you always worried about what somebody else thinks?
God wants you to speak.
See, we must develop to hear God's voice and speak it out in faith.
Go ahead.
Fear of mistakes.
Oh, so many people.
I know where that come from.
You write all the time.
You was right when you was a child.
You was right in school.
You was right when you got married.
You always the one right.
You never did no wrong.
So you never made a mistake.
Go ahead.
Fear of satanic influences.
Fear of poverty.
And fear of the future.
Number two.
Intimidation.
Is an act of continual harassment.
Until a person's wall of resistance is broken.
And he starts to belittle and to despise what he is and what he possesses.
The scriptural reference
is Nehemiah chapter number four.
Number C.
Types of ignorance.
Number one.
Not knowing what to do.
With what you have.
How to use and how to deploy our gifts.
How to maximize the use of the gifts that we have.
And how to progressively develop our gifts.
Number two.
Not knowing how to get what we do not have.
How to discover our gifts.
Or our gift mix.
How to receive.
Impartation of gifts.
How to cultivate a conducive atmosphere
for gifts.
For gifts. and how to tap into gifts.
Spiritual gifts.
They are received. They are not achieved. Spiritual gifts are what? Received, not what? Achieved. This is not college where you earn your bachelor's. You listening? Or this is not high school where you earn your diploma. See, we bring this kind of stuff into the church. Well, I've been in here 40 years. Who cares? You're a 40-year-old baby. Now nobody wants to shout. Now, don't drop your coffee. Go ahead.
D.
Gifts.
Love.
Gifts, love, or both.
1 Corinthians chapter 13
teaches
that gifts
are not an option.
Even though
we have love,
gifts are to flow
through the atmosphere
and the motivation of love.
In other words, when you're functioning in the gifts of the Spirit, it's not to draw attention to you. The main motivation for moving in the gifts of the Spirit is out of the spirit of what? Love. Go ahead.
1 Corinthians
chapter 13
should not be viewed
as gifts versus love.
It's not a question of
love is better than gifts.
Love is the motivation.
But power is that which brings
the accomplishment
of what God desires
in his love for us.
So I can love you. You listening? I can say I love you, but don't have the power to do nothing. God only loves us. He has the power to change different things. You listening? These power gifts will be in manifestation and in demonstration because the Holy Spirit is having his way. Go ahead.
E.
Benefits of the motivation of love.
One.
I can become something.
Gifts flowing through love
makes us functioning members
within the church.
Gifts set us in a position
of usefulness.
And we can become
what God wants us to be.
Number two,
it profits me something.
Gifts without the motivation of love
will still profit the hearer,
but not the user of the gift.
Gifts must first profit the user.
And gifts should what? Challenge the user to what? Mature and grow up and develop.
If it does not inspire us.
If the user of the gift is not inspired.
It will depress others.
It will what? Depress others.
F.
The bridegroom's voice of love. The scriptural reference is Revelation 19 and 10.
The spirit of prophecy
releases unto us the testimony
of Jesus
directly to us.
Number two,
prophecy testifies
of Jesus
and should fully represent him.
Number three,
prophecy is the voice
that heralds the bridegroom's
manifested presence
to the bride.
Number four,
prophecy is also
the voice of the bridegroom's friend
at the midnight hour.
Number five,
prophecy paves the way
for the greater one
to manifest.
Prophecy is to arouse
and to stir up the bride's love
and affection.
And prophecy thus
has to be spoken in love
to fully represent
the bridegroom's love
and voice to
the bride. Be sure and go over these notes. They will be on the quiz. Enjoy a great evening.